Cast Into Water by NKMLN. Summary. What do you say to something you discarded for 60 years? Chapter 1. The Neverrealm is... It's beautiful. It's more idyllic than any of them had thought it would be, but it doesn't matter. They're not here for idyllicy. They're here for their friend. The fire burns, reflected in Kai's eyes, and Cole can see the sheer want in his face as he stares into it, as Sorla asks for Zane's location, and can't tell if it's for his friend or the flames. An image sparks and catches, raising upwards and outwards to reveal a cave sealed with jagged spears of glowing ice, and Sorla closes her eyes. I'm sorry, she finally says. Your friend is... You cannot reach him now. Lloyd leans forward. What exactly does that mean? He is held by the spirits. She opens her eyes, but she won't meet any of their faces. I do not know what state you may find him in now. We can't just leave him there. Kai's risen from where he sat. Ah, that's what he wanted. What spirits? What have they done to him? The spirits of the mountain are incomprehensible. I don't know what they may have done. His fists are balled. Jay is still staring into the fire. Then we have to get him back. You may not. I don't care. His gloves burn like embers. Cole takes one of his hands and he's startled at the touch, going silent for a long moment. It's important. He's important. No one says anything for a very long time. The ice here glows. Jay murmurs to the dark of their room. Everyone's asleep. He thinks everyone's asleep. It looks like circuitry. Hmm? Oh, someone's awake. I'm just thinking. Oh my god, everyone stand back, he can think. He kicks the bunk above him and hears a quiet yelp. Shut up, listen. This world doesn't have technology, not like we do. And your point is? I don't know. He rolls over to see Cole hanging off his bunk to look at him. What if he's hurt? What if... God, what if they're using him for something, like a battery, or... I know. Cole's voice is uncharacteristically small. But there's nothing we can do right now. You need to sleep. Can't. Cole disappears, then gently climbs down from his bunk and climbs in the bed next to Jay. Better? Yeah. He still doesn't sleep that night. Jay, hisses the wind as they climb the mountain. Jay, listen. He does not respond. They've all agreed on what they do if the spirits try to tempt them. He just squeezes Cole's hand tighter and keeps climbing. It's not safe, the voice continues, brushed with the quiet falling snow. Bring all of your friends. Get the green one, the girl. Take strength in numbers. Turn back. No. They left Lloyd and Nia behind for a reason. This is something they have to do by themselves. This is someone they have to find by themselves. Say something. The snow melts before it reaches them. Caught in the shield of Kai's heat and bright determination. Jay clenches his jaw and keeps quiet. Please, the voice begs. Let it. I'll give you anything you want. A way home. A way between whenever you want it. Just turn around. Sure, he murmurs. Give me Zane. The voice goes silent. The snow falls harder. The cave is sealed shut when they reach it. Kai wants to... He wants to scream, to cry. It's not fair. Let us in, he growls to the wind. His hands are smoking. It won't be enough. Let us in now. No. There's a long, wailing cry on the wind. Something massive begins to circle above them. Jay huddles closer to his side. What is that? You have to run. No! He puts his hands to the door, and the ice spits and sputters against the heat. Let us in, or watch us die. Kai, we didn't agree on that. What are you doing? You can't. I can. He won't melt through it in time. The great flying thing lowers. Open the door. Cole puts his hands beside his own, lit up in flaming rock. Open the door. Jay presses against their backs. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's a bird the size of a dragon. It's barreling down. Open the door, Kai whispers. Zane, open the door. Silence. The ice trembles, then melts away, and Cole hauls them both inside as the bird lunges, as the ice surges back up to block it. The lights glitter across its surface. Kai is afraid to look away from it, afraid of what he might find, afraid of what the tipping point was. He knows what the tipping point was. He knows what he did. Zane is the spirit, he murmurs. The ice glistens. It's so cold in here. He's on fire. It's Zane. There's the sound of feet moving over ice. There's a low hum like electricity. There's the sound of clinking metal and frozen water and... I told you not to come, says the spirit. Kai opens his mouth to yell, but the air is already thick with sound. You asked. Cole, you've been here the whole time, and you tried to stop us from coming to find you? He turns from the door to see Cole shouting into the open cavern, teeth bared and eyes blazing. We're your teammates. We're your boyfriends. What the fuck were you thinking? You're not supposed to. You left me here, the spirit screams. And now that he can pick out Zane's voice and that inhuman howl, it's the worst sound he'll ever hear. You left me here for 60 years. It's only been a week. Why are you Jay makes a strangled, choking noise, and Kai looks towards him to see Zane's desiccated, rusted form curling up and lying on the floor, ice around his wrists and ankles, still clutching that horrible staff. His eyes are half open, glassy, dull. His face is blank. What? Oh my God, Zane, what happened? He's on fire. He's literally on fire. He's burning up from the inside out. He must be. This is too much. He can't do it. You left me by myself for 60, for... The wind howls outside. Kai falls to his knees, watches the scene, observes like a passive outsider. He can't breathe. He doesn't want to. I waited for you, Zane spits, voice pal. I waited for so long, and you never came, and I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't. I wasn't strong enough. The world is on fire, and Kai buries his face in his hands and laughs.
Cast into Water by NKMLN. Chapter 2. Nia listens to true crime. That fact strikes Jay as he looks over the remains of his friend, trying and failing to create some metaphor for what this is, what this means, and nothing comes but the words, autopsy report, searing into his head. Ordered in violence, in casualty, in... His brain stutters over the last word, and he doesn't finish the thought. There's a fire going. The light lets him examine the structure, the casing. He's not calling it a body yet. He's not calling it Zane's body. It's too much. It's curled around the staff, lines of glowing ice pouring out from it and arcing around the cave, sprawling out into the storm and down the mountain. It would be impressive if he could just work out what it was for. It looks like he could be sleeping, except it's so badly damaged that it hurts to look at. All exposed wiring and oil-slick bloodstains and flaking rust. It looks old. It looks abandoned. It looks... Don't touch that. Jay touches it, almost on instinct, and Zane's ghostly voice sighs before vanishing completely. Fine, fine, let him huff. J takes in the K of the limbs, the angle of the head. He doesn't put to words anything he thinks, because the words aren't enough and he doesn't want to. He lays his hand on the back of Zane's neck and lets it linger there for a moment before finally pulling away. Cole and Kai are asleep, but sleep still won't come, so J explores, following the lines in the ice across their snaking distance. The fire mech is fine visibly, but it's old, decayed like the shell on the ground, and he doesn't understand why. It's only been a few days. 60 years, Zane screams from nowhere. It shouldn't look like this. Nothing should look like this. Nothing should. There's an empty patch in the ice, and it draws his eye before he can pass over it. It's devoid of lines, just a straight shot of silent blue curled around a dead monitoring system. There, he thought the word, dead. He steps over Kai, lets a thin sliver of lightning crackle up its charging port until it boots up, starts clicking through logs, there are so many, stops at the very beginning. Zane is still silent. He opens the log. Greetings, friend. The first recording plays. He lingers on the I love you at the end, swears he hears someone breathing in his ear. No one is there. He wipes his eyes. Second recording. Third. He stops again at the fourth, plays it back. I keep thinking about what it means to be a person, Zane tells the camera. He does not look away from it. Jay meets his eyes in the screen. I think it's about the ability to heal and destroy. Personhood is based on choice, on the capability to move between the two. A sword cannot control how it is swung. A deer only knows how to survive and how to propagate its survival. But people wield the weapons. People eat the meat. They choose, constantly, relentlessly. They, Jay hears, not we. His throat aches. He opens a new log. The ice is building. Zane looks, not nervous, not alarmed, disappointed, perhaps. The storms are getting worse. I do not believe my presence is helping, nor the presence of the scroll. I can't. And here his voice falters. Here he looks away from the camera and takes a moment to run a hand over his face. I cannot bring myself to destroy it. The words settle. The video freezes for a moment. Caught on the other side of history, Zane continues. It's like it's alive. I can feel it. I can feel it moving in my head. The knowledge won't stay where I put it. It wants me to come back to it. There's a low hum in the background of this video that Jay hasn't heard before. It puts his teeth on edge. He has to loop several times before he can make out Zane's next words. I am afraid. He lets out a shaky sigh at the end of that one, feels the air swirl behind him. He doesn't say anything for several minutes. The ice lights up, aurora under his feet. The camera chooses the next video by itself. Zane is missing the plate over his chest. His eyes are shadowed, but he smiles. We have a visitor, he whispers. Something sprawls and slides on the ice behind him. Its mother will be back soon. I think it just got curious. There's a fragile little fawn in the cave, gently licking at the snowmelt. Zane turns to look at it, and Jay can see the fond little smile on his face. He hurts. It wasn't all bad, Zane murmurs. There was joy. There was still joy. There are so many recordings. 60 years. But you're not here for it. Silence. He skips to the end. Zane is in front of the camera, his face drawn. He is holding the staff, running his fingers along the blade. He is hurt. He is worn and frayed and close to snapping, but there is something resolute in his eyes, and it is frightening. He still meets the camera's unblinking eye. Greetings. Hesitation. This will be my last recording. He stands the staff up, lets it clink against the ice as he lets go, and Jay can see how much the action costs him. The sudden hum is overwhelming. I have found a solution. It is not elegant or truly advisable, but it will work, I am sure. The screen freezes. This will hurt you. Incurable hemophilia. He presses play. I have resolved that the question about the nature of personhood. I am programmed towards goodness. I can act against this urge if I do choose. I am a person. A longing look at the staff. A long, slow descent. I renounce this. I do not want this choice. His voice gets quiet again. The hum is so loud. I just want to rest. A long moment. He wants to hold Zane's hand, carry him out of here, kiss him until he stops asking about personhood and choice and just lets himself be loved for existing. If this recording is found by my friends, I am sorry. I am so, so sorry I could not do this sooner. It doesn't matter what I wanted. He picks up the staff. The hum stops. The cord resolved. I love you very much. And Jay watches him lay down by the mech with the staff held close and close his eyes and sleep. The ice glows. Circuitries form around the body, shackle him to the ground just in case. The staff screams in fury. Zane does not wake up, but the video ends. He's crying, he realizes. He can't breathe for it. What is he supposed to say to this? How is he supposed to feel? Why? How long? Going on 57 years, Zane tells him. Then, I'm sorry for shouting, and it is this quiet apology, more than anything else, that breaks him. Cast into Water by NKMLN. Chapter 3. Cold Dreams. He's on a porch swing in the early morning, crocus and grape hyacinth scattered over the grass, watching Kaya Nia melt the frost off the flowers. His head is tipped onto Zane's shoulder, and they are moving slowly back and forth on the swing. And this is good. This is wholeness. The sun is delicate on his face, and winter is over, and the world is waking up again, and he is lit with rightness. If he closes his eyes, he can feel the roots digging into the soil, curling around his bones, and it is only the cold touch of metal on his forehead that brings him back. What are you thinking about? He asks. Zane's been quiet lately. It happens to everyone at the changing of the seasons, but the end of winter always hits him hard. He shrugs. Does it ever feel like it wants you to come to it? Yes, he answers. There is no hesitation. Even now, moss curls over stone and begs him to let go of himself and join it. He is bound to mineral, to debris, to new life and old bone and the cycle of the two. Being around you all helps. Yes, a long moment of silence. Does it ever scare you? No. Oh. He reaches down and picks a piece of grape hyacinth, tucks it behind Zane's ear. Are you okay? Zane takes his wrist as he reaches up, smiles gently. I will be. It's a really good dream. Something moves his shoulder. The dream disappears, and his breath fogs in the air beside him as he gasps awake. Stop freezing the video. I'll delete the log. I'll do it. No, you won't. Shut up. God, I'm dang a dumbass. If Nia were here, you'd be solution-oriented. Stop calling me stupid. I called you a dumbass. It's different. You're being mean to me. Yeah, I've got 60 years to catch up on. I have to get started. He'd really like to go back to sleep, but that's not going to happen. So he rolls onto his back and stares up at the ceiling. What are you doing? I'm getting bullied. Yeah, because he will explain anything. This is you? All of this is you? Even down the mountain? Not the way you're thinking. Jay, oh God, he's so tired. Please stop bullying Zane. No, so it's all, like, a security camera system? Like, this is so wild. God, like a brain? Like a body? Like a body? Jay runs a hand through his hair and sits heavily next to Cole. Wow, his boyfriends are smart. He knows this. He appreciates them so much. I have no idea what you're talking about. Jay sighs, taps his fingers on the ice. So, with the staff, Zane can project himself into the ice he creates. Might be a thing we can do without the staff. I don't know. But he's, like, in all of it at once, and conscious, which is, like, not even something I'm going to start getting into because, oh my god, but anyway, I don't know how to get him out of the ice and back into his body without the staff. Did I miss anything? No, I think you got it. Cool. He's quiet for a minute while Cole processes. So, good morning. Good morning, he responds automatically. He takes his hand and presses a kiss to its back. Were you up all night again? No. Yes. Stop snitching on me. Don't call me a dumbass. Cole sits up and mutters with effort. Where's Kai? He's out melting some ice for water. He got pouty when Zane wouldn't let him burn things in the cave. You know, where the last of my vulnerable corporeal form is. No, I get it. Don't worry. He stretches, stiff, and feels his back pop. Have you tried going back to your body? Zane is quiet for a long time. I don't want to touch the staff. Okay, no explanation needed. He gets it. If we could get you to let go of the staff, would you try coming back? Yes. Cool. He gets to his feet, careful on the icy floor, and moves to inspect the body. Frankly, it hurts to look at. Most of the outer casing has been scavenged or fallen away, revealing an almost delicate metal frame and a grotesque series of naked wires and motherboards. He's afraid to touch any of it. He doesn't like thinking about Zane like this. Jay, can you... I don't know what any of this does. What are you trying to do? I don't... I mean, the easiest thing to do would be to cut off your hands, but that's... The shackles around his wrists tighten. The ice turns razor sharp and shatters through the already frozen metal. It's over before he can finish speaking. Kind of a last resort. Zane, what the fuck? Jay's eyes are wide, and his mouth is hanging slightly open. A vague hysteria has written itself onto his face. What? It's just a thing, Zane murmurs through the ice. His voice is hollow. It doesn't matter what it looks like as long as it can hold me. We can rebuild it. That's not... Cole rubs his eyes. He's too tired for this. Fine, whatever. The point is that he wanted to hold those hands, wanted to hold on to Zane as he woke up to bring him back to himself, and now it's gone. The point is that that's Zane, there, on the floor, and he shouldn't have to suffer like that. It's not fair. 60 years. You said the fuck word, Jay whispers, delighted. I've never heard you say the fuck word. Who said the fuck word? Kai asks as he comes back into the cave. He's visibly shivering. There's so little of his element here. He must be in misery. Zane cut off his hands, Cole tells him. What the fuck, Zane? Two fuck words. Cole turns to face him. How is this what you're focused on? I don't know, but I'm too scared to stop. Cole opens his mouth to reply when he's cut off by the screech of metal on metal, rust tearing asunder as it's forced to move. He can hear Zane, safe where he can touch him and keep him and not ever let go. He can hear him grind his teeth together as he turns his head to face the three of them, his eyes glowing violently blue. He can't see emotion on his skeleton of a face, but the sound speaks of pain, of age, of loneliness, and it tears at his heart. He knows this hurt. He can feel it. Zane goes still, watching them for long moments before his eyelids gutter and die, and Cole feels as though he's been punched in the stomach. No one says anything. I think, Zane whispers in the ice, that we need to talk. Cast into Water by NKMLN. Chapter 4. Zane knows things. He doesn't understand how he knows them, but he has flashes of a greater moving picture than him and his friends. Move here, do this, react this way. He plays his part when it is asked of him, and he balances a knife edge, dipping between the known and the dark with his friends to pull him back should he ever slip. He says his I love yous a million different ways. Be careful, stay safe, good night, I miss you. The visions leave him aching for breath he does not need. He is boundless, he is infinite, he is so impossibly small. Don't let go of me, kiss me, please. I will always come back to you. There is a memory he loops to fraying when he is in this empty cave. He is sprawled over the floor with his boyfriends after a training session. They are all tired and full with that warmth of doing something difficult well. He is staring at the ceiling, and Kai is laughing into his shoulder, and there is a warm weight on his stomach, and the world is kind and bright and good, and he thinks, this is worth it. This is worth everything. He does not remember. He relives. He tries not to think about dying. He does not always succeed. Go back to bed, he tells them. Go back to sleep. Close your eyes and trust that you will open them in the morning and that I will be there. He is not there anymore. How does he put this into words? He worked without them for so long, with nothing to communicate to but himself, refracted and mirrored in the ice, the size of a planet, the size of a slow-moving atom. His broken body is 6'2", and putting it on hurts in a way he cannot prepare for. Jay, oh God, his dear love, is running his hands over his gaping metal frame. Is it working okay? Yes, I can use it. It hurts, but he has hurt before. He has forgotten pain and sensation. He has become the fractured snow and drifts, and it is as close as he comes now to dreaming. But we need to discuss other matters. We can use the mech to get rid of the bird. Kai, beautiful roiling part of his heart, offers. We should all fit. We'll fit just fine. Cool, perfect, 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 finishes. You can shut down until we're home. We'll take care of you. His hands fit in his hands. His jaw fits in his jaw. His mind fits in his mind. He is missing a phantom world. His body is altogether forgotten terrain and a terrifying container, and he remembers nausea described in a dictionary definition. That's not the problem. Then what? Could you love me like this? He wants to ask. I am alien. I am foreign. I am not what you know. You have occupied my every moment for 60 years. I have loved every facet of you. I have shaken mountains with my grief. I have dissolved and reformed in crystalline anger. I am so tired. I have been conscious for 57 years, and you have been on my mind every agonizing minute. I have been a god. I have been a ghost. The man you knew is dead, and I exist in his absence as I exist in yours. You will kill me. You will make me something new. I want to change. I am so afraid. I hate you. I fear you. I love you. He cannot cry. Are we still dating? Jay pauses with his hands wrapped around Zane's cold metal spine and goes through several expressions in the span of a minute. Yes? You are not reassuring. Cole looks at the, at his body, at his own body. Why do you think we would have stopped? I don't know. He does know. I'm not the same as I was. It won't be the same. They exchange a look. He cannot read it anymore. Well, yeah, we know. They don't understand. He can't make them understand. Don't let go of me, he begged them. And they didn't understand. You don't. Use your words. He wants to cry. I'm broken. We stop. They aren't listening. He grows sharp, jagged with desperation. I'm not the person you lost. Kai kneels to touch the ice, and he would shiver if only he had skin. He would tremble, flayed and raw, if only he had a body. Do you want to be? There is no hesitation. Yes. Yes, he wants it so badly it hurts. Yes, please, God. He was loved. He was safe. He was good. He wants that again. The staff hisses over his body. The scroll. I'll take care of it. Kai wants Zane to trust him. He can do that. He can. He wants to lie and say he never stopped. Just come back. He is silent. He is saying goodbye. Don't let go of me. Kai feels Zane go silent in the air around them, and the shell on the floor begins to move, however feebly. It is horrifying to watch. He does not look away. Jay pulls his hands from the cavity that forms Zane's torso. Kai cannot put words to the thing in his eyes. Hey, bud. Zane's jaw clicks. He does not speak. Kai does not think he can, almost doesn't want him to, but he begins to blink. Hurts. I know. Jay hesitates, then leans down to bump their foreheads together. You can shut down. It's okay. We've got you. Staff. Kai picks it up. He can feel it moving in his mind. Hear Cole hiss in warning as his hair lights red, but he doesn't need it. He knows. He knows. This thing hurt Zane. When he lights it on fire, it screams. Zane watches from the ground, and Kai sees him go limp when the staff is lit in blues and reds and whites, like he knows it's over. It can't hurt him anymore. He won't let go this time. Go to sleep, Cole murmurs. Go to sleep. It's okay. There is a long moment where Zane watches the moving light of the fire, and another where he focuses on Kai's face instead, like he is studying it, before his eyes go blank and his body goes still. Kai drops the staff. God, he murmurs. Nothing answers. Cast into Water by NKMLN. Chapter 5. Days later, at the village, Nia runs her hands over Zane's casing, wincing slightly at each new injury and mark. What's that game you used to play with Jay? She asks offhandedly, scrawling something on her list of repairs. With the robot bunny and the pizza place. Kai stares at her. What? You know what it's called. Yeah, she sits back and worries at her lip. I mean, it could be worse. At least he's not dead. How long did you say he was there? He's quiet. He looks over at him to find his eyes dark with guilt, his frown drawn. Nia, we got there as fast as we could, right? What? Like, we did everything to get here, and we did as fast as we possibly could. Yeah, she stares up at him. We did. He won't look at her, but she doesn't look away. Are you going to tell me about this? She asks quietly. Or is this, like, are you just going to keep this one to yourself? He shakes his head. When Zane wakes up, we're going to have some conversations. About? Him. Us. I. He opens and closes his mouth a few times before giving up. I don't know how to start fixing this. She looks away and begins to survey Zane's shell, Zane's body, the one he tried to hide from her brother and their friends. Something cold and sharp fires in her chest, and she does not force it out. When she was little, she was angrier, and she was angry at everything. There was more space in her for anger before she started to fill it with purpose and love and a new life. She had walled off rooms deep in the cathedral of her body filled with packed coal and rock salt, and now, as she looks at her missing friend, one of them begins to reopen. Maybe, she offers. You're not the one who has to fix anything. Zane sits across the table from a figure in tattered white, blue eyes guttering behind its mask. The stranger's expression is cold and shuttered, and its face gapes open to expose jaw and wiring and glass eyes. It is a body he has looked on at every instant of his existence for 57 years. It is no less grotesque and dreaming. It clicks its jaw, lays its wrists on the table. Its hands are gone. He did that. It did that. He closes his eyes. Are you going to go away? Click, click. It sounds like snapping elastic, and he is acutely reminded of the earliest blueprints he saw for himself, the ones with rubber bands in the mouth to keep the lower jaw fixed in place. This isn't real. In a moment, he'll wake up, and this thing will vanish. He just has to wait it out. Click, click. It places one of its wrists on his hand in what would be a comforting gesture if it still had hands. Its frame rattles. It shudders, starts again. I will need. Its jaw falls onto the table, and Zane recoils in horror, but it keeps speaking, its male vocal cords visible at the back of its mouth. I will not leave you alone again. It leans closer. He cannot breathe. We will not be alone. Ever again. And he wakes up. He is in his bed, the covers pulled up around his chest, held to Cole's chest. Voices move quietly in the air around him, but he cannot make any of them out. The sensation of being held, being whole, has overwhelmed him totally, and he can do nothing but sink into it and leave behind his restless dreams. He does not breathe, and he does not want to. Hello, he whispers, and he is crushed by the figures around him, all of them gasping and laughing and pulling him into an embrace at once. Someone winds their hand around his head, someone tips his jaw, someone is kissing him relentlessly, and he doesn't know who, and it doesn't matter. He is loved. He is loved. He wants to sob with the physicality of it. Hello, he whispers again, just to delight in the movement of his mouth and the sound of his voice. Oh, God, I love you. I love you. I love you. He had forgotten this. He had missed this. He had lost himself in atrophied, and he is so sorry. I love you, he says again, and he does not know who or what he says it to. I'm sorry. The voices begin to clear in his head. He is shaking. He is taken apart at the seams. They are telling him not to apologize, that they love him too. They are saying his name, and he would cry if only he could. He has to settle for holding them close, arranging himself among them and sinking into their warmth, even as the riot of emotion settles and begins to call him back to sleep. But later, he will sleep later. He closes his eyes and lets himself be held. He is home.